Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with everybody today. And I'm pumped because this is a weird thing. Ant and I were talking before the show. We are at the halfway point of the season. The 49ers have played 8 of their 17 games. There's no true midway point with everything because it's, 17 is a weird number. But man, Ant, how are we doing today? And what was your kind of reaction, or how do you feel that, man, the 49ers have already played 8 games this season?
Yeah, it surprised me. You sent over that it was kind of the midway point, and I didn't even realize it. It feels like this season, for whatever reason, just got started. And here we are. We're almost halfway through. And I guess the conversations about playoffs and all that have to get more real because that's kind of what you're starting to build for. You got the trade deadline just around the corner. That's next week. It just feels like it jumped upon us, and here it is, and now it's time, to go finish the season. The 49ers got an opportunity to do it. I think it's still available to them to make the playoffs, but yeah, I can't believe we're here, John.
It's a trip, man. It's kind of fun. Like, I get a little bit of nostalgia. Shout out to my main man, Matthew. He says, hashtag CC, what's up, JC Niners? Week 9 G-Men. So much of my vernacular and how I see things is how we were raised in the 90s. And like, Chris Berman is a foundational piece in my, like, what I hear, what I see. The G-Men, the New York Football Giants, right? Like it's just, those things are burned into my brain. And shout out to Matthew. I see the G-Men and I just go straight like 90s Berman, who's still freaking dominating and still doing his thing, which I freaking love. So this episode, a little bit different. Coach approach, we're going to spend some time. We're going to look forward to the Giants. We're going to talk a little bit of matchup. We're going to talk a little bit about some things that can be adjusted after last week needs to be adjusted. But I do want the first part of this show, and I want your opinion as well. If you are watching or listening or whatever, if you're around live, who are the best players so far this year? I did a top 11. I couldn't cut one of these off. And then who are the 5 biggest liabilities player-wise, right? Now, you have to add some caveats to that because I want this to be a focus moving forward piece. So, like, Fred Warner, players that are, injured, currently injured. I'm not putting Bosa and, Fred Warner involved in that. And I want players that have played a minimum of 4 games. So, as we add these qualifiers and, if you're watching this, I want you to answer kind of who comes to mind. You don't have to do a full top 10, but who are some of the top players? Who are some of the biggest liabilities? I don't want to say worst. I don't want to say whatever, but like players that have cost us so far. So as we start this show, it's almost kind of like a report card of sorts, this idea of who has contributed the most. And man, we're going to go kind of out of order because the NFC AFC players of the month were just announced. And sure enough, the 49ers had a player involved. Nobody could have predicted before the season start, but our man Eddie Pinheiro comes in as the special teams player of the month. Number 2 on my list was Eddie Pinheiro. Talk to me about Eddie P, how you feel whenever he goes up there to kick a kick, the difference between number 4 and what we have now. Tell us about this kicker, man.
Hey, he's been the model of consistency. This is exactly what the 49ers were hoping they were going to get when they made the move. And they knew the move was going to be tough to make because Jake Moody was an investment. But Eddie Pinheiro is just a solid NFL kicker. He's proven it throughout his entire career. I love the fact that he was waiting for the right opportunity, turned down Atlanta because he wanted to win. I love that part of it. But he's just been rock solid, And even when there's been some kicks that have been a little interesting, like off the, the uprights and things like that, it still goes through. It just shows, Eddie's kind of got a little bit of juice to him. So I think that this was a great move by the 49ers. It's the closest thing we've had to Robbie Gould where it's almost automatic. You can tell Kyle feels really comfortable running him out there now. And really, I do too. When when Eddie's coming out there, I don't even worry about it if it's going to go through. I just expect it to. And that's a good feeling to have as a 49er fan, because it has not been like that since Robbie Gould retired.
It's a trip, man. And again, just another stake in the claim. Never draft kickers, never draft punters, because you picked this guy up super late. He was one of the last available kickers after the season was already underway. And yeah, like, dude, simple. It's simple. Never spend draft resources on kickers or punters. And little spoiler alert, punter's going to show up on this list too in a positive way. I thought he was the best player of the week. Offense, defense, special teams. Thomas Morstead was the number one weapon last week, which is never good when your punter is. Yeah, my number one player, Christian McCaffrey. I feel like you said the word consistent. And whenever I did this list, and you know, we had our Zoom hanging out with our brain trust last night, and they kind of helped me, you know, move some guys up and down. There were only two consistent players on the entire 49ers roster that I could say with ease: Christian McCaffrey, Eddie Pinheiro. CMC, is there any doubt who the 49ers offensive player of the year is to this point, that it is Christian McCaffrey and nobody else?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's just done it all. He has been whatever the 49ers needed him to be. And then when there was no weapons, there was no Juwan Jennings, there was no George Kittle, there was Christian McCaffrey. He was making those plays. The only thing that stopped him from getting 100 yards from scrimmage this last week was complete ineffectiveness and lack of opportunity to even get the ball. Besides that, he still made things happen. He's just a tremendous player. And all the talk about him losing a step, I think, can now be put in the background. The way he operated in the open field last week on that catch, he jukes one guy, he makes another guy almost miss. He still got it. And Christian McCaffrey's been big for the 49ers. And with George Kittle back, it's been a lot better for this offense overall. I know it didn't show up last week, but I think that it's still going to be something that shows up. McCaffrey can do it all. He puts in the work, and I don't think there is a better dual threat running back, in my opinion, than Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, he's been off the charts awesome. And you're right about the 100 yards. Like, the only reason why we didn't get there is just didn't have enough plays. He was making plays nonstop. Even late, he continued to make plays, which I thought was huge. Shout out to my man, Zach Halter, coming in with the super chat. You are the freaking man. He didn't have a question attached, but don't super chat again. If you do have a question or comment, just put it on there. We'll pull it up on the screen, but just want to say thank you for your support. You're the man. All right, which brings me to my number three. And again, talk about a complete 180. I have been anti-McCorkle for a very long time, but this dude comes in, you go 4-2 as a replacement, that's off the charts. Like, if we don't have Mac Jones, you could flip. I think you'd be 3-5 this season. And, you know, every NFL team, you just want to go 500 with a backup quarterback. It's the exact opposite. Mac Jones comes in number three. Has he been perfect? No. Is he coming off one of his, you know, lesser games? For sure. But even in this, you know, game that you just lost to the Texans, his three best passes were incomplete because of the wide receivers. Like, you pull down those Sky Moore deep pass, he can find the ball. Juwan Jennings doesn't play hot potato and just throw the ball up in the air. Juwan Jennings doesn't drop, you know. We still scored a touchdown right before the half, but, you know, awesome throw going across the middle. He got scared of getting hit again. Mac Jones, number three, issues with that?
No, I don't have any issues with Mac Jones being that high, because if you look at what we had last year with Brandon Allen and Joshua Dobbs, we wouldn't have won these football games. They would have lost. And the real truth is that Mac Jones has played pretty well. That game that he had against the Rams, I think, is the staple game you can kind of look at and see how well he played and how he competed and the toughness that he displayed in that game. And I think that tells you everything you need to know about him. I think he's proven that he's probably one of the back end 32 starters in the NFL. I think he's capable of doing that. So he's doing his job, and 49ers got somebody they know that's got, can go out there and has enough moxie to make the throws that it needs to make and can keep you competitive. And that's really all you can ask for from your backup quarterback. So he's done a lot for the 49ers, 4-2. He's done a pretty good job of taking care of the ball. A couple of those interceptions are not on him. Those are on his wide receiver. So he would have a 2-1 ratio if you take those off of him. And I think that that is good NFL football. Would I like him to be a little bit better in some cases? He's missing some guys here and there. Absolutely. But the 49ers are not where they're at if they didn't have Mac Jones to come in as the backup quarterback.
Dude, you think he plays this week? I think he is going to play this week. I've been wrong about this Purdy situation. I'll say it nonstop. Like, I don't know. I think it's going to continue to be number 10.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Mac Jones too. some of the things that Kyle Shanahan's saying, you know, it comes really down to Brock Purdy and how he feels and the comfort. And I don't know if they feel comfortable playing him at MetLife. I wish he could play this week, Brock Purdy, because I'd love to see him get some of the rust off against the Giants before they go play the Los Angeles Rams, if he's going to play in that game. But we'll see. I mean, Mac's capable. He's up for the challenge. The one thing the New York Giants can do, though, is rush the passer. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's huge. And again, just if you're just now joining us, Niners fan says, how dare you guys not put Jake Brindle on the list? Again, can't be currently injured. So Bryce Huff, Jake Brindle, these guys, Yetur Gross-Matos, like Fred Warner, not involved in the positive or negative, because I think those guys are going to miss a substantial amount of time. I think we're still a couple weeks out from Huff and Brindle returning. So just trying to focus on the here and now. So CMC 1, Eddie P 2, Mac Jones 3, and a lot of people kept putting D'Amador Lenore should be number 1. I have him number 4. The main reason, Demo's been awesome, as advertised, but you can't lead the NFL in penalties. He's got 8 penalties. Like, it could have been twice as many, if I'm going to be honest with you. You watch that tape. That dude is tugging and holding past 10 yards. However, giving up no touchdowns again. Continues to be awesome. Teams are not throwing at him. Instead, they're throwing at the slot corner. They're throwing at the safeties. They're throwing at the opposite corner. I had Trent Williams 5, Demo. I wanted to move Trent Williams up above Demo, but I put a poll out there on Twitter, and it was like 80%. So maybe I'm wrong. So let's bunch these two together. Trent Williams hasn't been the Trent Williams we're used to, but he's still the best offensive lineman we have by a tremendous margin. So talk to me about D'Amador Lenore, Trent Williams, how you slate those two, and are we justified with having Demo 4, Trent 5? The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order.
I think there's an argument that D'Amador Lenore could even be higher on this list. So I get what people are saying. He has played really well, and that's been one of the saving graces of this 49ers secondary, is they have to give no help to Demo. This is what they were hoping Charvarius Ward was going to be able to do last year, and we know he had some off-the-field things that really distracted him. But Demo's locking down one side. I don't mind the physicality. I know physicality leads to penalties. But for the most part, this is what you expect from the type of defense the 49ers like to run. And I like Demo getting out there and getting physical. I think him at number four makes sense. I think he could easily have been a little bit higher than this. But when you look at Christian McCaffrey, he's been the driving force. Eddie Pinheiro completely stabilized the special teams. They're actually getting better now. And Mac Jones, without him, you don't win. So you have to put D'Amore Lenore kind of at four. So when you talk through it, it makes sense. D'Amore Lenore deserves to be there. He's a really good player.
He is. Shout out to Lieutenant Simple Jack. That's Rob Lauder of the Striking Gold Podcast. He says, might be my favorite weekly 49ers episode. The old hat tip, and I hear it in the Kermit voice. I freaking love you, Rob. You are the best of the best. And Zach, who gave us a super chat earlier, said he just wanted to say thanks for helping make the season enjoyable. Is all he wanted to say. And I probably shouldn't say this on the show. I want to say this on the show. I get the most emails and comments and DMs talking about this episode every week, which is funny because it's one of our least watched downloaded ones, but we are catering to our base. The coach approach is becoming like a favorite of a lot of people, which means the world to me. So I just want to say thank you. And for everybody watching, go support 49ers Cutback, Patreon, everywhere, subscribe, YouTube. It's all over the place. Ant's the best of the bunch. Whenever I need draft or film or offensive line stuff, first stop shop, man. Really appreciate you, Ant. You are the freaking man. Now, I think that there is a drop-off. So I have 11 top players, CMC, Eddie P, Mac Jones, Demo, Trent Williams. I think there's a drop-off. And I know I'm biased because this is one of my favorite players, and I feel like we get a second chance. The low point of the Texas game for me was whenever I look down, we're getting our butts kicked. I look down, and I see the cart come out, and I see this defensive lineman that I have loved it for 2 years on it. And it was the lowest point in the game, but turns out he's limited. And he was at practice yesterday. I have Sam Okwuonu, number 6 on this list. Consistency is the major issue of this team. This dude's probably number 3 on my consistent meter, if I was going to make up a metric really quick. Sam O, number 6. Crazy?
I mean, it's tough because I do think there would be guys ahead of him. But, you know, like for Bryce Huff, for instance, we have the caveat. He's injured. I think that he would be ahead of him. But I do think that Sam Okwuonu's been a consistent person that they needed, you know, whether it was being a base down defensive end or now being one of the main pass rushers. I do think he's done a good job. You know, I don't know if 6 is where he sits, but overall, I can't say that he doesn't deserve to be on this top list because he does. He's just been a consistent player, and the 49ers have needed consistency on defense. And I think that, yeah, Sam Okwuonu deserves to be recognized for what he's done. In fact, when he got hurt last week, I was very disappointed because I'm like, oh no. That's a guy we can count on every single week. That's part of the reason I was happy the 49ers signed Cleveland Farrell to the practice squad, because that was another guy they used to be able to count on every week to go produce. And so, yes, Sam Okwuonu deserves to be on this list.
Oh, I freaking love it. I love it. I'm glad I'm not alone. I always get worried and it's going to be like, John, you're crazy. At some point, you got to be, John, I think you're crazy. Like that, I need to hear this at some point during today's episode. It's important. It's important for my life. All right, number 7, I got Alfred Collins, the rookie. It's up and down, and I thought that the Texans game, especially the second half, was some of his worst tape that I've seen. First half was good. They put too many snaps on him. He got 50-plus snaps. I think that that's a mistake. I don't think he's ready for that yet. But, I mean, single-handedly delivered that Rams game victory. Like, imagine if you were 4-4 right now, 2-1 in the division. Like, that would change the entire narrative of where you are this season. Alfred Collins, the big man, one my favorite draft pick, I got a lot of flack for that, but big number 95. What are you seeing? What are you liking? Do you put him as a positive, even though there's a lot long ways to go for him?
I think it has to be a positive. You know, I mean, he's definitely gotten better every single week and improved. You're still going to see some of the negative plays where he gets his pad level a little bit too high. This was the Javon Kinlaw syndrome as well. Big guys who play tall, but he makes plays and he does go out there and compete. And it's one of those things where when he gets beat the next play, he might make something happen for you. He gets his hands up in lanes and knocks the ball down. I think Alfred Collins is doing pretty good, and I'm definitely excited with this play. You're right. Last week he played too much. I think a lot of that's because Jordan Elliott got hurt. And so they went to like a three-man defensive rotation because they didn't have CJ West. He was inactive for the game because of roster reasons, you know, and Nick Sakel being elevated, Travis Gibson. So I thought that he's competed. He's definitely got his body to where he can handle a lot more snaps, but he's still got a ways to go. But the good news is you can see what this guy could end up being. And I do like Alfred Collins. I think he's been a positive. And that Rams game alone, you know, really was a big reason why the 49ers are where they're at and why they may make the playoffs. I mean, that was that big of a play and sequence for Alfred Collins.
Yeah, it was huge. And, you know, right after him, I've got number 8, Colton McKivitz, who, if we take away the Texans game, I think he would have been a top 5 player for me. Dude just got abused. But Will Anderson beat everybody. He beat all 5 of the offensive linemen at one point or another. He beat Colton McKivitz several times, which was pretty, pretty rough. But Colton has improved dramatically in the run game, which he might be our best run game blocker right now. Like, is that weird to say over Trent? But he still gets beat around the edge by those speed, bendy edge rushers continuously. Even in his best game of the season against the Falcons, still gave up a sack. So I don't know. Like, I struggle with Colton McKivitz because I think he's having his best year back-to-back. Didn't hold out. The antithesis of Juwan Jennings. Exact same contract situation. Showed up every day. Never complained. Never bitched. Never held out. Never did anything. Gets rewarded. I think he's been playing well. I have him number 8.
Yeah, I think he's been playing well. I think that the certain matchups are really bad for him. And I think we've known this for a long time when it comes to the 49ers. They've had matchups when it comes to right tackle that are bad. And when for Colton McKivitz, it's guys like Byron Young and Will Anderson and these guys that can generate speed off the edge. And Anderson was getting extremely wide on the wide 9 and just coming with that elite speed. And he was doing it to everybody. You're right. I think that there's going to be tough matches for Colton McKivitz, and Kyle Shanahan has to scheme it up, and he was doing that. He was trying to chip him, and he was trying to give help because those are just going to be tough for McKivitz. He's a little slow to get out there compared to everybody else. At least he's a little bit different from McGlinchey. McGlinchey struggles with strength, too. McKivitz can handle the guys who bring pass rush with the strength, and he can kind of anchor against those guys. So it's one particular type of player that gives him a problem. Not every team has those speed guys. So I do think that he can hold up, and the run blocking has been a lot better this season, even though against the Texans, it wasn't that great.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Now, there is one player that is not on my list that I know people are going to be mad at me about, and we haven't said his name yet. We still got 3 more to go, but next I want to talk about a player that I did put on my list, positive or negative. But before we do, real quick, right here. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a 5-leg parlay week 1 and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, I want to talk Kendrick Bourne. Not on my list. He's not on my list. Should be on the list. I think that he's had some great performances. Obviously, the back-to-back 140-plus yard games. But, you know, Coach says, John, Kendrick Bourne has been clutch for us. To be honest, it's easy to say Mac, but Mac was assisted by Kendrick Bourne for weeks. He completed some big, pretty down third. I agree. I single-handedly hold Kendrick Bourne responsible for that Jacksonville game that we lost. Single-handedly. Like, still messing up, still not lining up right, still not blocking well, still having issues, but he has been good. The coach and me, I can't get past. This is a character flaw, Ant. I know I have issues. I can't handle mental mistakes that take place nonstop. I do wish we would throw him the ball more, but I didn't put him on my bad list either. So he's not naughty. He's not nice. He's in between. He's definitely top. I think I would put him 12 on my list. But is this the point where I'm crazy? Is this the point where you call me crazy?
I do think Kendrick Bourne should be in the top 11. He carried the 49ers through games. You're right. The Jacksonville one wasn't good. Him and Brock Purdy struggled. You know, he couldn't catch that one that was like a 3-yard pass. So he had a bad game, but he responded after that. And the way that he played some of those big clutch games, you know, the 49ers just don't win without Kendrick Bourne. He has been a consistent at wide receiver, especially when Ricky Pearsall went out. Mac really relied on Ricky Pearsall. And then when he didn't have him, it was all about Kendrick Bourne. And Bourne was getting it done, the biggest catches in the biggest moments. And I think Mac Jones has actually missed him a couple of times for what could be a couple more touchdowns. So I think Kendrick Bourne's played well beyond what anyone thought that he was going to be able to do when he came to San Francisco. So, yeah, I would have put him on the list.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, let's continue. Number 9, Mikael Williams. We're asking him to do more than he's ready for. He could stuff the run. He could go from the inside. I feel like the biggest negative with Mikael is he just cannot keep quarterbacks from getting the edge. He has given up probably 5 to 6 major gains by not keeping his outside rush integrity and quarterbacks just running around him. Going to be another problem this week with Jackson Dart, who, man, they're running that quarterback way too much. Brian Daboll, people talk about like Shanahan hurting quarterbacks. Dude, you use Jackson Dart as like quarterback power. It looks like 2022 freaking Trey Lance play call out there just running QB ISO over and over again through the B gap. Mikael Williams has been good, though. As advertised, I think worth the pick. Definitely a foundational piece. You're hoping he can get some more pass rush productivity, but I have him a 9 on this list.
Yeah, I mean, he's been another consistent, you know, playing through injury when he got hurt. He just continued to go out there. You're right. There are some things that definitely have been a little bit of flaws. One of those is, you know, letting players outside, not keeping that outside arm free. You know, this week he kind of dipped in when Jair was blitzing and then couldn't get back out. I think those things are normal. But when the 49ers drafted Mikael Williams, they had a distinct plan for him. It was a base down defensive end. He was going to stop the run and then slide inside. He would have more production if he still had the weapons around him, guys like Bosa and Etor Gross-Matos and Bryce Huff. He would be able to get one-on-one matchups with guards, which is what they envisioned early on. And remember, this is a guy that they see kind of in the Eric Armstead mold, a base down defensive end who slides inside, and that's where he has his production. They're never expecting him to get double-digit sacks. I know Armstead did that once. They're expecting, you know, 7, 8, something like that from the inside as a pass rusher, and maybe a little bit more from the outside. But he doesn't have the bend. They never expected that, and he's played tough. And I think that the young rookies, him and Alfred Collins, especially on the defensive line, are showing potential of what they could be in the future.
Yeah, I like that. All right, number 10, special teams matters too. Thomas Morstead, the freaking putter. You have the highest drafted kicker, the highest drafted putter in the NFL the last few years. Not great. You get rid of both of them. You pick up just vets off the street, bottom dollar, and sure enough, two of the better players on your team. Thomas Morstead, I think, was the best player last week versus the Texans. 3 inside the 20, 1 inside the 10. The punt team's not terrible anymore. And a large credit of that has to do with Thomas Morstead.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the smartest things that Brent Boyer did when he came to San Francisco was completely change that whole kicking battery, you know, with John Weeks coming in as the long snapper and then Thomas Morstead, the punter. That was the first step. Now that he's got Eddie Pinheiro, you've seen the special teams really change. Eddie, number 2, you got Morstead down here. And I thought Morstead's been consistent. He's never going to be a boomer. He's not going to give you these 60-plus yard punts, but that's not what you need. You need somebody that can be strategic and pin people back and flip the field a little bit when you have the opportunity to change field position. He can do that. We don't need those big, long punts. And so he's been a consistent. I also think that he's also become a leader in that room when it comes to special teams. I see him on the sidelines talking to other players, coaching them up. That is big when you got someone with experience. And he knows everything about every stadium because he's been around for a long time. So he knows about wind. He knows about all that stuff. It's huge to have a punter you can trust.
Yeah, it changes things. And probably one of the, like, whenever I'm doing the film breakdowns on NFL Pro, like, I do all my offense, then I do all my defense, right? And so, like, whenever you're doing the defensive breakdowns, in the first play of the drive, they're starting inside the 20 and inside the 10 consistently. It's just like, ooh, Look at this. They got to go 90-plus yards. Well, against this defense, turns out the Texans did multiple times. But it's like, oh, man, the idea, and I've been, as a player and a coach, you know, DC, I was a special teams coordinator for my first coordinator job, then DC, then HC. But, like, we used to harp whenever I was a special teams coach, hidden yardage. And whenever I was a DC, dude, we want to give them, they have to get two extra first downs. If they start inside the 20-yard line, they have to get two extra first downs before they're in scoring position. Like, this is huge. And so we would talk to the offense about protecting the ball. We would talk to the special teams about, man, your job changes and makes everything easier on us. Defense hasn't answered that call so far, at least recently. I'm hoping that changes. Now, the last one on my list, number 11, and I got to say, like, he's regressed. He only played 5 snaps this past week. That's Jake Tonjes. You don't win week one without him. That catch, just go up and moss Tyreek Woolen in the end zone against Seattle. That was huge. Started the season off right. Jake Tonjes, Los Gatos. Is he going to be any more of the game plan, or is he back to just 0 to 5 snaps a game?
I think it depends on matchups. You know, I think last week the 49ers went in and wanted to play Houston in some certain situations. They wanted to run 21 personnel. They wanted Kyle Juszczyk out there. I think there's going to be other times they're going to be able to go 12, and they'll put Jake Tonjes out there with George Kittle, and I think you'll get some matchups that they like. But I do think there's going to be, you know, a reduction in the amount of snaps that he gets. But we're seeing he can still be productive in those limited snaps. I think third downs, also in the red zone, that's where he can be effective as a pass catcher. I love the 3 tight end set where they rolled out and hit him for the touchdown. He's got those capabilities. So I do think that he deserves to be on this list because he was a big part of getting them, you know, where they needed to be. It's like Mac Jones with Brock Purdy. They don't get there without, you know, Jake Tonjes just filling in for George Kittle. I thought he did a really good job so far, but I do think his snaps are going to be somewhat muffled over the next several weeks because I just don't think he's going to have as many opportunities outside of red zone, short yardage, and maybe some matchups where you want to go 12 personnel and take advantage of that.
Yeah, 7 snaps for Jake Tonjes last week, 5 snaps for him this week. Find a way. And I think the dominant defensive line, Texans and, you know, Giants, those are both top 5 defensive line groups, not his time. If you could protect the quarterback, play in space against non-dominant defensive lines, then I think you have a chance. But, man, then you look at the Rams next week, pretty damn good defensive line. So I think this is just not the month for Jake Tonjes, but after that fact, I think it's back to Tonjes' time a little bit. I'd like to see him up around that 20 snap rate personally, and get him out in space because he's a reliable pass catcher. I'd rather have him out there than Sky Moore or, you know, a lot of these other wide receivers that just don't offer much. Now we're going to flip the script and we're going to go with my top 5, bottom 5 biggest liabilities. And again, no injuries, have to play at least 4 games. That's what we're going to be talking about right after this. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, this week I fly out early in the morning, very early in the morning, out to New York. We are going to be partying in Jersey. We're going to be out in Hoboken. We're going to be at the Ainsworth. You want to know one of the best views of the city? We're right on the waterfront. You can see all of Manhattan. It is beautiful. The Ainsworth, wonderful facility. It's going to be packed. This one's going to sell out. Saturday's going to sell out, so please do not wait. Kids are free. We're there 4 to 8 p.m., and then our tailgate. Man, our menu, we're doing a breakfast/lunch tailgate, which is going to be a blast. We're going to have, like, donuts, pizza, hot dogs, wings, ribs, hamburgers, hot, like, our menu this week is quite extensive. So no matter what you want, you're going to find what you want with us. So come party. We're going to be out at MetLife Lot J. Once you get your tickets, you get the exact pin of where we're going to be partying. Come join us. It's a premium, all-inclusive, drinks included, food included, 3.5 hours before the game. Then we walk to the stadium. It's going to be a blast. Please come party with us. And if you're going to any other away games this year, we're going to be at every one. The frequent flyer miles are rat and freaking tracked for John Chapman. That's all I got to say. A little tired, but that's okay. All right, let's talk about the biggest liabilities so far through this season. And I'm struggling number one versus number two, but my biggest liability, I'm sorry, I'm going Juwan Jennings, number 15. The amount of negative plays, the penalties, not even lining up right on the very first play of the scrimmage, playing off whenever he should have been on the line of scrimmage, gets a face mask two plays later, wipes off the first down, drop passes, drop touchdown passes, yelling at coaches on sideline. He's got his worst blocking performance that we've seen in any part of his history. Juwan Jennings, biggest liability. It could change, and I hope it does change, but this is not the number 15 that we're used to seeing.
I definitely don't think it's the Juwan Jennings that we're used to seeing. I don't know if that's lack of training camp, if that was some of the injuries. I know he's talked about the ribs and, you know, and he has definitely been beat up a little bit. And I do think that there's not a chemistry between him and Mac Jones. I don't see them on the same page. Even when Mac has him open, they kind of are not quite on the same page. There was a slant pass. He threw it way behind Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings made a super, crazy catch out of his catch radius. And I thought that that was nice, but you just don't see it. I do think that there's been things that Juwan Jennings has done this season that were out of character. The quarterback sneak where he just stood there at the line of scrimmage and didn't go help like the other 10 players did. I thought that was interesting, you know, and then even this week, he had a chance to rub Kyle Juszczyk's defender and create a first down opportunity with a blitz coming. And he didn't do that. Yeah.
Drove me crazy. Literally went out of his way to get out of the way of the corner that he's supposed to rub, and Mac Jones is looking at him and then just like, what do I do? Like, dude, meanwhile, they're running rub routes nonstop on every third down, and it's working too freaking – they're not calling anything. Oh, I was furious, man. I was furious. Sorry.
Yeah, those are killers, and that's why you know, I can understand the frustration and why that Juwan Jennings right here, especially with the way that he's performed in the past, if you compare it to what he's done in the past – it's definitely been a down year for him. I think he would admit that. I'm hoping he's going to reset now and kind of become the Juwan Jennings that we all know and love, because this dude is an absolute stud. I love everything about the way he's played over his first several seasons with the 49ers. And so I hope he can turn it around, because they need Juwan Jennings if they are going to be able to make a run at the playoffs.
One of my favorite things is the way the 49ers front office have kind of turned about face with how they handle these contract disputes. And I'm telling you, you got to show up, you got to practice, you get paid. Fred Warner extension was already practicing. George Kittle extension was already practicing. Brock Purdy already out there, gets his extension done. Colton McKivitz already out there, gets his extension done. Juwan Jennings, no, man. Debo, nope, we're done. We're done with that. And, you know, Corey says, does it not give you last season Debo vibes? 100%. But shout out to my main man, Ben, NY Niners. He says, I still believe JJ will turn it back around. We have third and Juwan again. You got to have it this year at some point. You have to. And the amount of goodwill that he built up, it's hard to remember. And it's becoming more and more distant. But if he goes out there and starts blocking, like, that's the bare minimum. Like, I understand he's hurt. I understand he's playing through a lot. That's tough. There's a big difference between hurt and injured, though. And being hurt doesn't mean you don't block anymore. And being hurt doesn't mean you can't line up anymore. And being hurt doesn't mean you yell at the coach in the middle of a game. So the ribs ain't got nothing to do with those things. So I hope that it turns around. I really, really do. And I do think that Brock Purdy coming back will help Juwan Jennings. But gosh, man, I don't know. And I don't see the 49ers trading Juwan Jennings. I really, really don't, because you're going to get that cap pick, whatever, the comp pick back anyway, once he signs. Yes, it's a year delayed, but that's kind of the way the 49ers operate. So unless a team is willing to overpay for Juwan Jennings, which why the hell would you want to trade for that right now? For like, unless you're offering a fourth, I'm not even entertaining that, because you're going to get a fifth round comp pick for him. He's going to get 10 to 14 million somewhere. I don't know. Maybe the quarterback change. We'll see. My number two biggest liability is Jair Brown. Has not been good on special teams as a backup. He's out there saying he's a top five safety. They work him in some nickel packages, plays okay. Gets the start, you know, they basically bench Marquis Siegel, who had some issues in coverage, for a better coverage guy. Well, guess what? Jair Brown gives up a perfect 158.3 passer rating last week. Toasted for a touchdown, several missed tackles, led the team in that. Several other missed tackles where he didn't even touch the ball carrier was so off. 27, I'm done. I'm just, not to say he can't redeem himself, but I don't think that his personality and play style, he did make two really, really good aggressive plays. I just think he's too soft, too tentative. I don't think he fits what we do. So my number two biggest liability is Jair Brown.
Yeah, I think the first way to look at it is the very first time that he has an opportunity to get a third down stop against Braxton Berrios, and he just completely misses the tackle. Those are the things that Marquis Siegel does well. I get why the 49ers thought about making the change. They wanted to bring Jair Brown in. They thought he would be better in coverage. He has showed at moments that that is the case. It was not the case against the Houston Texans. And then his tackling is a complete liability. The one thing you know is not a liability for Marquis Siegel. Marquis Siegel is the best tackler in the secondary, and it's not close. And so the question is going to come real quick. Why not Marquis Siegel? If you're going to get the mistakes in coverage, why not get him from the young player, let him go work those things out? But he also tackles well. So you are going to get off the field on some of those situations, and that's very important. Get the ball in your offense's hands and keep the defense off the field as much as possible. I think the 49ers have a little bit of a safety problem in general. I don't think they have a complete safety right now. Malik's not all the way back. He's still playing out of control. And with Marquis Siegel, he's having some coverage issues. And with Jair Brown, he has tackling issues. And so I think that right now they're trying to figure it out. But they have three guys who don't quite have everything you need to be a complete safety.
It's a problem. And so, yeah, I want somebody that can at least do something positive. And so I 100% I'm making that change, and at least rotate them. You know what I mean? Like, at least rotate them, but we'll see what that is. Shout out to Kimbro. He says, John, I live in Pennsylvania. I can either go Saturday or to the Sunday tailgate, but not the game. Man, come out Saturday. We have a lot more events, a lot more stuff going on, a lot more trivia, but you know, we're in a parking lot for the tailgate. So that one's always a little limited. That's focused around food, drink, all that stuff. So I come out Saturday to the Ainsworth. It's going to be a lot easier for you to get to, get in, get out, and all that stuff. So that is my recommendation there. Now my number three player, D Winters. I think he started off hot. It's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse, to the fact that whenever he left the game, we actually got better linebacker play. Curtis Robinson, I thought, played better than he did. D Winters, he has to stare at the quarterback all day long. He never gets to his pass read. Even once he gets the pass key, his feet are still planted. He will never go to the flats. He's given up five touchdowns this season. He cannot guard the flats to save his life, even though he runs a 4-4. But it's because he has to stare down the quarterback standing in the pocket. I hate that he does that. You get the pass key read, get to your assignment. He's just on a delay football IQ-wise whenever it comes to getting that pass read. Now, outside toss, stretch, outside zone, that's when he's at his best. But if he gets that pass read, which he was supposed to be a coverage guy, he just struggles getting to the flats, and it is driving me insane week in and week out. He's put it on tape. It's bad.
He was definitely one of the best, you know, starting the season. I mean, he looked like this was the next coming of Dre Greenlaw. That's how well he was playing through the first part of the season. And I think it's to make sense. It makes a little bit of sense that since Fred Warner's been out too, it's gotten a little bit more of a struggle. If Fred put everybody in good positions, but he also made things easier for D Winters because he would switch roles with people and take their spots. And so I think that this is something that could be very interesting for the 49ers, is what ends up happening with Nick Barton and when he becomes available to help this linebacker room. But right now what the 49ers need is more consistency from D Winters. They need him to get a little bit better. He's still a young player that's learning, and I know he's been in the league for a little while, but he hasn't got all those reps at will linebacker until this season. So hopefully he can improve But yeah, he struggled, especially over like the last like 5 or 6 games. I think it's definitely been a struggle for him.
Yeah. Now these last two are going to hurt, Ant. So this is where you can come out swinging if you need to, man. Number 4, I got Dominic Pooney, and I know he's playing through a knee issue, but my thing is like the mental issues, the balance, he's turned into a little bit of a waist bender. Again, I don't know how much of this is around the knee. And so it's a little bit of a Juwan Jennings, whatever, but his anchor was so awesome. Now you're getting 2 to 3 plays a game. He's just getting put on ice skates. McGlinchey S being pushed back into the quarterback. Also, the combo blocks. Like, you're seeing him, and whether it was him and Jake Brendel or it's him and Matt Hennessy, both of them leave the freaking 2-tech. That's like both of them will leave. And you know, whose fault that is, it's different on different plays. But consistency, that's the word of the day for the 49ers. I think of the season, he doesn't have it. I love Dominic Pooney. I think he's a foundational building block moving forward. How much of it is the knee? How much of it is mental, balance, technique? Tell us what's kind of going wrong last year versus this year for Dominic Pooney.
I think a lot of it's the knee, honestly. I do. I mean, just seeing him at a training camp before the knee injury, he looked like the same old Dominic Pooney. And I think that since then, that's why you're seeing more waist bend. He doesn't have as much knee bend, which is something you want to do with anchor. And you really got to suck up those hips. He just hasn't been able to do that consistently. I think when you see him moving in space, too, he doesn't move as well as he did last year. So I do believe the injury is playing a part in it. It's also, for whatever reason, 49ers sophomore players struggle. It was Spencer Burford who struggled in his sophomore season as well. So this is not uncommon for them, but hopefully he can kind of regroup as the season goes on. And I feel like he actually has had some moments where you're like, ooh, okay, there's a Dominic Pooney.
Correct.
It's just not consistent yet. So I'm hoping that he's going to come out on the other side, but it hasn't been what anyone expected. Everyone thought coming into the season, you could count on Trent Williams, you could count on Dominic Pooney. And to say that you have been able to say that, you just can't now. So, yeah, Dominic Pooney's been a little bit of a disappointment. But when you look at that offensive line, he's not the biggest worry for the 49ers.
No, he's not. And the last one, sorry, going after your alum here, Renardo Green. I think since the neck issue, he's looking a little bit Jair Brown out there, tentative and coming up with contact, which has never been his MO. So, like, again, there's caveats. 49ers most injured team in the NFL. You're not getting that aggressive play in the run game, screen game, tackling game. He is giving slowest wide receivers, backup wide receivers, this incredible cushion. And whenever guys are catching the ball in front of them, there's a 5 to 6 yard separation consistently. Like, it's not even a contested catch. What do you see with number 2, who the 49ers bet big on? You brought in almost no corners, no competition whatsoever. Renardo Green, am I being too hard on him? Do you agree? Help us understand what's going on there.
I don't think you're being too hard on him. I think that he hasn't been as physical as we expect and what we saw from him last year. And so has he lived up to expectations when it comes to physicality, helping in the run game? We've seen him get sucked in a little bit, lose the outside when he's a forced defender against the Texans.
That dude was all the way in the A-gap. He was all the way in the A-gap as the outside force corner. What the hell was that?
I don't know. Him and Upton Stout both went inside. Upton did his job, but Renardo Green did not. I think we've seen the lack of physicality. And like you said, it could be the neck. Maybe it's that. Maybe he's afraid to kind of go mix it up because he's been in and out of the lineup. And I think that's one of the concerns with Renardo Green in general. He was hurt last year. He's been hurt this year. Can he stay healthy? I think when it comes to coverage, you're right. He's been playing off a lot more. But really, when you look at the numbers, he doesn't give up a lot of catches. He doesn't give up a lot of yards either. So he's been doing a good job when it comes to coverage. I just wish he would play more physical, more tough. I was expecting him to be a little bit more feisty, like I saw at Florida State, more in the DeAndre Lenore type role, and that he was going to start picking it up. So it has been a little bit disappointing what we saw so far. Maybe he can turn it around for the second half of the season.
And look, James, he says, I like Green. I like Green too. I love what I saw last year. Like, I love it. Yeah, dude, get the chop going. But, and like, this isn't players we don't like. Jair Brown, I don't like. The rest of them, I do like. It's liabilities, right? That's the whole conversation. He has been a liability. And every single team that we have played this year, everything that they do, we're going after number 2. We're going after number 20. We're going after safeties. That is every single team's game plan whenever they play the 49ers defense. It's what we're going to do. We're going after number two, number 20 in the safeties. And it has worked pretty much for every single team. At some point, you got to make teams pay. And none of those guys really have done that to this point. Thomas says, you know a player's about to get roasted when JC says, I love, but yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It is a bad issue. So let's shake it up a little bit. Let's talk now about this week. You've got a weird team, the Giants. They're young. Cam Scadabo, the injury, whatever else. They've beat some quality teams at home. They beat the Chargers at home. They beat the Eagles at home. We're playing them at home. Like, they've showed out. What are some of the key matchups or tendencies or things that you've seen in watching the Giants, the G-men, that you want to see this week with the 49ers?
Yeah, I think that one thing that the Giants do really well is rush the passer. You know, you got Brian Burns, you got Kayvon Thibodeau, which everyone's, you know, paying attention to Kayvon Thibodeau. They want him on the flight with the 49ers when they come back. And I think that, you know, that pass rush and that what we just saw from the Houston Texans, I think is going to be something that's going to be a focal point is, can Colt McKivitz hold up against, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau? Or I would put Brian Burns on him if I was the Giants, and I would put Thibodeau over against Trent Williams because the odds are Trent Williams is going to win most of those anyways. So I think that that's an interesting matchup for the 49ers. I also want to see what happens with the run game because the Giants are bad when it comes to stopping the run, like really bad. They give up 148 yards a game on the ground. 49ers, when they had a bad defense with the run game, the Atlanta Falcons, they killed them. So that's going to be one of the focuses. If the 49ers can establish a run game, that's going to take a ton of pressure off Colt McKivitz, make things a lot easier. If not, it could start looking like the Houston Texans with all that pass rush coming off the edge.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Can you run the 49ers have changed their offensive identity a couple times this year where you're leading the NFL in pass yards per game with two separate quarterbacks through 5 weeks of the season. Then you go run heavy, you impose your will, get 39 rush attempts against the Falcons. It's just like, all right, we're back. Then Christian McCaffrey gets 8 rush attempts. Like, that's it. So obviously you want to go out there and you want to establish a run, but you got to get first downs to do that. Can't have Juwan Jennings ruining that for you. You can't do that. So hopefully the Niners get out of their own damn way against a suspect defense. Yes, the defensive line for the Giants is awesome. Yes, they have one of my favorite players in Drew Phillips in the NFL. I freaking love that dude coming out of college last year. But Renardo Green was a hit. Like, you got a great guy in that same draft slot. Awesome. Hopefully they can show up. Hopefully you can do some things to establish and maintain drives this game. If you do that, I think good things could happen. And man, I remember 2022, I think it was 22, we do a road trip to Carolina. We had a wonderful time. We're at Carolina. We throw great parties. It was wonderful. We go to the stadium. They're passing out Fire Matt Rule shirts. Talk about Matt Rule just got an extension this morning, right, with Nebraska. And we completely take over the stadium. We kick their rear end. 49ers dominate. We come home the next day. Christian McCaffrey, their best player, is traded to the 49ers. And I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers. You go into MetLife Stadium, you handle your business against a team that you should beat, and then you take one of their players. Like, I want that same mirrored whatever. I'm hoping that's going to happen. What are your thoughts? If the 49ers win this game and the whole trade deadline and all those different things going on, do you think they'll add another player?
I think that it could force the 49ers to make another move. I think they'd be sitting pretty comfortable. We'll see what happens with the rest of the NFC West as well. But I mean, if you're sitting at 6-3, you're in a really good position with 3-0 in the division. You got a big game coming up against the Rams, and it might make a team like the Giants who fall, their record to
2-7.
If they lose, you're out of it. You're pretty much out of it. So that you could want to move on from Thibodeau, or, you know, maybe the Jets then will officially move on from one of their guys. I wouldn't mind the 49ers walking away with one of the New York pass rushers, basically. Bring them home. They got a lot of room left on their contract for the 49ers to be able to use these guys for another year, which is what they do, right? Young and cheap. And that's exactly what they did with Keon White. That's exactly what they plan on doing with one of these guys. I think it would be worth the potential move, especially if it didn't cost too much.
Yeah, I like this. My main man, Oscar, you're the freaking beast. He says, pick one. And again, understand their cost is involved in this. Cam Jordan, Arden Key, Will McDonald. You know, Cam Jordan cheap, Arden Key cheap. Will McDonald would cost a lot, a third plus. I'm not trading a second rounder, but with their respective costs factored in, if you had to pick one of these three, who would you go after?
I would take Will McDonald. The edge presence, the speed off the edge, that would be huge. He's got plenty of time left on his contract, but it's not financially expensive. Yeah, you have to give up more draft capital-wise. But when you're talking about a third-round pick potentially, I think finding value, you already know what he can do in the NFL. He had 10.5 sacks playing for Robert Saleh last year. So this would be a Robert Saleh signing off on the deal. I would 100% make that move.
So, okay, it's going to cost a third-round pick and a future fourth. Is that too much? Is that not enough?
Not for a premium young pass rusher, no. With the amount of money they're getting on the open market right now, you'll have him, and then eventually he'll leave because you're not going to pay him. He'll leave, and then you'll get another comp pick coming back. So, yeah, I wouldn't be scared to make that move at all. And you could use that kind of pass rush because you're not just thinking this year, but you're thinking next year and what he would be able to do with him, Keon White, Nick Bosa, Mikel Williams. Oh, yeah, sign me up.
So, all right, and this is where I draw the line. I'm not offering a second-round pick for anybody. You've got to, and you heard John Lynch this morning talk about the draft next year. We're not one to use a lot of those resources. I'm not trading a second for anybody. You've got to use those first and second round picks with the way this roster is so top loaded with blue chip, you know, players. I'm not offering a second round pick for anybody personally. I would rather have Alfred Collins for four seasons than Will McDonald for two. Like, you have to build around young cornerstones. Do you agree with that? If it cost a second to get Will McDonald, would you be interested?
I would. I would be interested for the reason because you can potentially have him for 2.5 years, the rest of this season, and then two more using the fifth-year option. So that's why I would be interested in potentially bringing him in. But a second is definitely steep, and you got to think that he's going to get you over the top during the time of that contract. But that's tough. But who are you going to get in the second round? You've seen so many times that it's worked and so many times that it hasn't. So, yeah,
Bernardo Green is sometimes better.
Right. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And you just got to bet on that. So I'm not like 100% sold, but I'm definitely entertaining it.
Yeah, I'm with Cam's dad here. Build a solid foundation. No high round, you know, trade picks. I'm not offering a second. Like, if I'm John Lynch and could completely disagree with me, that's fine. I'm not trading that second round pick. I'll trade a third, but I value first, second round picks like immensely. Like, that is a big deal. So would you rather have Renardo Green for 4 years or Will McDonald for 2.5? Like you said, and for Will me, McDonald. You'd rather have, dude, that's your guy, Renardo Green.
I know, but I'm just saying pass rush helps the secondary. I can find another Renardo Green. I don't know if I can find another Will Anderson, you know, Will McDonald, the guy that could do that off the edge with 10.5 sacks for 2.5 years. But I mean, it's also where are you drafting at the end of the second round, right? Are you drafting in the first part of the second round? That's a lot more value. If you're drafting at the end, like you did with Renardo Green, the last pick before the end of the second round, well, that kind of changes things.
Yeah, there you go. And Oscar says, look at Will's contract, 4.4 in 2005, 5.1 in 2006. Cheap. He's young. Conditional third turns into a second if he hits qualifiers. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going hard here. I'm offering, dude, what do you want, two-thirds? I'd trade two-thirds over a second. Like, I have such a big – there is such a drop-off. I see second-round picks – the same as like pick 18. And it's been this way. You know, we do our draft work, you and I. Like, we're grinders. We're insane, stupid people. But like, back-to-back years, like pick 20 is the same as pick 58. Like, there is not that much difference between those. Like, obviously, you'd rather have pick 20. But like, in the tiered players and whatever else, like, I see those day two, the second round pick as everything. And again, you look at the third round picks. I mean, shoot. We have a third-round pick, Nick Martin, who healthy scratch for most of the season. We activate him on special teams. Terrible. Hasn't made one positive special teams play yet this year. Even on his tackle, wasn't really great. Like, I don't know. Second-round picks, I think. First, second-round picks are foundational pieces. But I like the disagreement. Silent, thanks for the super chat, says, go get them. Bosa isn't guaranteed, and Will is greater than any rookie at the second round. You do get 2.5 years of him. You do get 200. But, like, this is what I'm doing. I look, okay, we're close. We want him. I'll give you a third and a 2027 fourth. That could become a third if he hits that. That's 2 third-round picks. Like, that's what I'm negotiating. I'm not giving up a two. I don't want to give up a two. I can't do it. I can't do it. Right. Anyway, Ant, you are the freaking man. Thank you for your time. You're the best. Everybody go subscribe to 49ers Cutback wherever you watch and or listen. That's going to do it for us. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.